Coming to you direct from the nerve center of the galaxy's greatest comic. This is the 2000 AD Thrillcast.
Borag Thung Earthlets, and welcome to the 2000 AD Nerve Center. I am Molchar, and this is another Zion Jazz episode of the 2000 AD Thrillcast, where we are finishing off our epic interview with Dread co-creator John Wagner. Now, that's going to be coming along in a little bit, but before we get to the final part of our interview with Mr. Wagner, let's talk a little bit about what 2000 AD has coming out this week. Well, of course, there is the Galaxy's Greatest Comic, 2000 AD, Prog 1971, which hits newsstands and digital today. And that has more Judge Dredd, Undercover Clegg, dividing the readership a little bit, but we're finding it very, very funny. It's brilliant. Rob Williams and Disraeli stuff with Dredd being a little bit of a grumpy arse, if I'm honest with you. We've also got Kingdom, we've got ABC Warriors, we've got The Order, and we have Strontium Dog, which we're going to be talking to Mr. Wagner about in a moment. We also have two nice new collections coming out in paperback in the UK. First off, we have Planet of the Damned and Death Planet, which is a collection of two very early stories from the very dawn of 2000 AD, which whether you read them when they first came out or you've never been able to pick them up before, they're really old school classic comics. Death, Destruction, Aliens, Death Planets, etc., etc., etc. So that's well worth picking up. And also something very special, which is Gold Tiger by Antonio Baretti and Lewis Schaefer, but brought together by Guy Adams and Jimmy Broxton. And this is something very unusual for 2000 AD. This is the first time we're actually doing an original graphic novel or original book. And it's the secret history of the 60s greatest unseen comic. I don't want to go into too much information about it because it might spoiler it, but it is a fantastic work of the imagination. And look out for some media coverage around that. We're going to be posting on our social media because, that is a tip-top collection. Both of these books available from UK comic book stores and bookstores. If they don't stock them, please ask them. If you're a fan of the Dread movie from 2012, and I'm sure there's, you know, one or two of you out there, then you need to be getting hold of the next US format tie-in comic, Dust by Arthur Wyatt and Ben Wilshire, which is coming out in April. Make sure that you go to your comic book store soon, like now, to ask them to order you in a copy to make sure that we print enough, because previous issues we've overprinted and there still haven't been enough. So make sure that you tell your comic book store that you want a copy of Dread Dust, which is coming out in April by Wyatt and Wilshire. And it's a great comic. It's running in the magazine at the moment. Yet another fantastic story in the world created by Alex Garland. Now, one thing we haven't got to, because we've been busy interviewing Mr. Wagner, is the results and the answers to our big birthday quiz. Now, those of you who remember, the Thrillcast was 1 year old, and so we ran a special competition where you get to win copies of every single UK book that we put out this year. I mean, that is a big prize, Earth. It's absolutely huge. You know, the winner will be getting things like The Cursed Earth Uncensored, the Steve McManus book that's coming out later this year, Judge Dredd Titan, Monster, ABC Warriors, Robusters. It's an absolutely fantastic prize. Tharg is indeed generous. Now, before I announce the winner, I'm going to go quickly through the answers for those of you who didn't get them. And there were one or two entries where they did slip up. They're probably going to be kicking themselves now. So, in Nemesis the Warlock, who did Torquemada marry after his first wife, Candida, was committed to an asylum? That was Sister Stern. Which of Zenith's singles is at number 3 in the pop charts when the story opens? That was Heaven Can't Wait. What do Galen DeMarco and Bella Bagley have in common? Well, both of them have fallen in love with Judge Dredd. Much to his annoyance. Which organisation issues a warrant for Adolf Hitler in Strontium Dog the Stickelgruber Grab? That's the Committee for Ultimate Retribution. Helm, Gunner and Bagman were the names of the biochips in Rogue Trooper. What were the equivalents in the Friday reboot? That was Top, 8-Ball and Lucky. On what planet does Dredd encounter the Jigsaw disease? And for a bonus point, what is its old Earth name? The planet was called Ab. It was also known as Bedlam. How did the following chief judges die? Goodman, Griffin and Vault. Well, Goodman was assassinated by Mad Chief Judge Cal's... not chief judge at that point, but his special judicial squad. Griffin was assassinated by Dredd after being brainwashed by East Mech 1, and Vault committed suicide following the Nero Narcos attempted coup in Doomsday 4 Mega City 1. To what tribe does Slain belong? Well, they are the Sasair. Match the character to the exclamation. Grodon Agrini, which was PSI, which was Side Judge Anderson, dear. Bojemoy, which was Nikolai Dante. Ay Caramba, which was Carlos Sanchez Robo Stogie. And Hooting Heck, which was Ace Garp. I managed to read all those out in order, which was very clever of me. Who leads Banzai Battalion? That's Captain Bug Stomper. What's the connection between Pedro Julio Montes, Byron Ambrose and Roberto Smith? Well, they are all aliases of mass murderer PJ Maybe. And finally, according to Alan Moore and Brendan McCarthy's English Flondrutian phrasebook, what is the English translation of Skudgengare? It is, idiot, I asked for 2000 AD, not 2000 elbow scratches. I am very pleased to announce that the winner of our first birthday quiz is... Dan Shenton. Congratulations, Dan. We'll be in touch so that you can claim your prize. Thank you to everybody who sent in their entries. We'll be having another quiz very soon with more Zarjazz prizes. And do you know who we haven't had on the 2080 Thrillcast recently? Well, of course, it is the being that makes all this possible. The Gathelbet, the mighty, the amazing, the all-powerful Tharg the Mighty, alien editor of 2080. And to be quite frank, he's been getting annoyed that we've not been talking to him recently. So, without much further ado, the shielding's all in place. Let's welcome Tharg the Mighty for another round of Ask Tharg. Almighty Tharg, we thank you for deigning to honour us with your presence. You are indeed mighty and great.
Flattery will get you nowhere, Mulch. Get on with it. I have a comic to edit.
Of course, of course. The Earthlit who's just won the competition, Dan Shenton, he actually sent in a question as well, so, I don't want to take too much of your time, but, you know, they're all good questions, they're all good questions.
Get on with it.
Very well. So Dan was saying, I was just wondering how the Mighty One felt about former script droid Grant Morrison taking the editor-in-chief role on Heavy Metal magazine. Does Tharg feel that Morrison's promise to inject a little punk sensibility into the magazine is encroaching on 2080's toes, or is the comics world big enough for them both?
Many are the anthology comics that think they can ape the galaxy's greatest comic. Few succeed. Good luck to the Morrison droid and his efforts, and I can always stand to have a little competition. But if he's trying to out-punk me, well, remember, I punk with the best of them, and no one punks more than the Mighty One.
Well, thank you, Tharg. Okay, so the next question is from James Newell. And he says, were the star scans commissioned in the past as star scans, or are they rejected or overstock covers? Of course, star scans, for those of you listening who don't know, they're very nice illustrations that often go on the back cover of 2080 over the years from some of our absolutely top droids.
Usually, they were commissioned specifically as pinups to add variety and flavour to the 2080 experience. There may have been the odd, dodgy cover buried inside over the years. I'd have to ask MechQuake.
I don't think it's a good idea to wake him up. Moving on, Earthlit Doug Ray says, I come before the Mighty One in great humility with three questions, in the hope he'll answer whichever ones, if any, he deems worthy of response. First off, firstly, I must confess that despite enjoying 2000 AD's characters over many years, I have never read much of the iconic Strontium Dog. Wishing to amend my ways, I ask, what is the Mighty One's advice on where to start? Does it make most sense to start with the Agency Files 1, or is there a standalone story or book better suited for introducing readers?
Start at the beginning with Agency Files 1, Earthlit. Strontium Dog is very easy to slide into, as it were.
The second question is, there are many landmark moments upcoming for 2000 AD with both the 40th anniversary and 2000th prog on the horizon. I trust in Tharg that he has everything well in hand in terms of prog content. I was just wondering if in celebration we might see some retro style cover art and maybe a run of progs going through the several distinctive logos we've seen over the years incorporated into their covers.
Retro is as retro does, Terran. Nostalgia has its place, but this is the comic of tomorrow. There will be plenty of opportunity for looking back, but we must take care to look forwards always.
Okay, the last question from Doug. I have a memory of a Judge Dredd story I cannot remember the title of. I remember it is set at Christmas in a Scottish sector of Megacity 1 and is about Scottish residents trying to give their families a good Christmas by obtaining whiskey and presents on the black market, only to have their Christmas cancelled by Dredd. I particularly remember a page where a little girl asks Dredd if Santa will bring her new presents to replace the old ones that Dredd has taken, only to have him reply, no, because he doesn't exist. Can Tharg tell me the name of that story and where one might find it?
That would be Christmas is Cancelled. By Mark Miller and the late, great Brett Ewins. Originally published in the 1990-2000 AD Winter Special and reprinted in Judge Dredd, The Restricted Files, Volume 3.
Thank you, Mighty One. There's just one, I think, this isn't really a question, but Earthlit Stuart McDermott sent in a little thing about coming back to 2000 AD. He says, really enjoying listening to your podcast and reading them Zajaz progs on my iPad. I remember the enjoyment I would get when I was a school kid, seeing and reading 2000 AD in my local corner shop. Even though at the time, 1995 wasn't best for stories, but enjoyed them regardless. And joining the British Army in 2002, I once again discovered the delights of Tharg's progs. Sinister Dexter being a personal fave. I'm now living up in Scotland and took out a physical subscription and just bought all the physical back comics from 2015 and going to get up to 2002 up till 2005, then get ones in between in digital. New series I'm especially enjoying is Stickleback. Good story, slightly odd, and the artwork is out of this world. Never seen anything like it before. Feels like I've missed so much, but also much looking forward to 2016. Somebody mentioned Cursed Earth Saga is coming out. I'm also a massive fan of the ABC Warriors, some real characters in that motley bunch of circuits. I much prefer 2000 AD to the generic superhero American comics, as I like the mix of stories, the British humour, and unpredictable nature of the stories. Thanks to all the good work of all the droids and to Tharg from his biggest returning fan. That's a really lovely story there from Stuart.
Florix Gabonde for your kind words, Earthlit. And it's good to have you back on board. I agree that it's the humour, irreverence and mix of stories that elevates my mighty organ above all other comics and makes it utterly unique. Look out for some truly Zajaz strips coming your way this year. As well as some beautiful new graphic novel collections, including, yes, The Cursed Earth Uncensored, a tome that has been 38 years in the making!
I'd like to thank Tharg the Mighty, who now leaves the sub-basement where we record the Thrillcast, for all his answers. And thank you for sending them in, Earthlit. We really appreciate it. Tharg does enjoy hearing from Squatstick Thargo around the world. If you'd like to send a question to Tharg, please do email it to Thrillcast. That's all one word, thrillcast@2000adonline.com. thrillcast@2000adonline.com. And now, let's face it, it's what we're all here for. It is the third part of our interview with the legendary John Wagner. Bit shorter this week after the epic episode last week, but Some really great stuff from John, and specifically a big announcement which may frustrate and delight in equal measure. We also talked about Strontium Dog and, you know, whether or not Dread is going to go on forever. So, yeah, sit back, enjoy as we finish our interview with the mighty John Wagner. Let's talk about Strontium Dog.
Okay.
Because that's a character where, when I chatted to Carlos, of all the characters, that was the Johnny Alpha was the one that Carlos felt closest to. The one he felt was he kept referring to him as his son.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's a very different creature to Judge Dredd.
Yeah, he's like the opposite.
Yeah.
The mirror image almost.
Yeah, he is the oppressed, he is the individual.
Well, they both have a strong sense of right and wrong. It's just what's right and wrong is different.
Yeah. I mean, that in itself is an interesting idea of a bounty hunter having a strong sense of right and wrong. Because surely, with Judge Dredd, all he cares about is the law, but with Johnny, surely all it ever is the money.
No, it's not with Johnny.
Okay.
No, the money's almost peripheral with Johnny. What he's doing is, he's doing a job that he's good at and a job he feels is worthwhile. And if he thinks he's got the wrong person, then he won't do anything about it. If he thinks he's going on the wrong track and the warrant's wrong, he won't follow that up.
Right.
Dredd just sticks to the letter of the law. If there's a warrant out on the guy, he'll serve it.
Sure.
But they both, Dredd, if he knew somebody was innocent, wouldn't do anything either. So I suppose they're similar in that way. But I'm fonder of Johnny than I am of Dredd as well. Partly because he's the one character who has always, apart from Alan's contribution, and his contribution was great, he's always belonged to me, whereas I don't feel that Judge Dredd does.
Okay.
But Johnny's mine and I do with him what I want. He's my kind of guy, really. Dredd's not, but Dredd's interesting to write.
Yeah. Well, Johnny is a remarkably complex character because he was born out of a freedom fighting tradition. That's where he earned his stripes, was fighting for mutant freedom. And then he finds himself in this terrible compromise piece where he has achieve some but not all of the aims of what they wanted to do, in that he is a free man, but the only job he's able to do is killing people for money. That makes him just so morally complex in relation, in comparison to Dredd.
It does, yeah, but you've got to look at it leaves him, he's hunting down miscreants rather than killing people for money. You know, that's I don't think that's how Johnny sees it.
Sure.
The others do. Most of the people he works with do. I'm just going, put one in the heat and get him back here. But Johnny doesn't.
Yeah.
He's a very damaged kind of person, and I don't think he's willing to damage other people if he doesn't have to.
Sure.
I think I spent too much time in his rehabilitation, his resurrection, and I should have got down to the nitty-gritty of old Johnny-type stories quicker. But it was... I was seeing too many complaints from people who said all these retro things that I was doing, although some of them are pretty good stories, I think. I was seeing too many complaints from people saying, yeah, but I mean, it's all retro, it doesn't matter, we know how he dies. And then I thought to myself one day, well, it's my character. If I want to bring him back, I'll bloody bring him back. And I do. I'm glad I did. I kind of like to bring Wolf back, but I can't do that.
Well, that's the great kind of debate is whether it was right to bring Johnny back. You've mentioned before in interviews how you disagreed with Alan killing him off.
That's not true. No? I must have agreed with him. The reason we did it was because of what happened with Robo Hunter.
Yeah.
I'd stopped writing Robo Hunter, and it was given to a writer who didn't give a damn about him.
Mm.
And what came out of that was bad for the character and a sort of insult.
Sure.
And we didn't want the same thing to happen with Johnny Alpha. So when we had enough of writing him, well, we might have come back to him later, but we'd had enough. And maybe it was too easy a decision to make, but we decided, well, there's one way of stopping anyone doing things we don't like with them, and that's to kill them.
Yeah.
And I think it was the wrong decision. And if we had to go back to it, I wouldn't kill Wolf either, because I don't. Although I'm about to kill an important 2000 AD character, and but I don't normally do that anymore. I mean, I've learned my lesson about killing popular characters.
Sure.
The one is going soon. I'm not going to say who, but watch out.
Can I pause this and ask who?
Yeah.
There we go. Right.
So Michael now knows who the major character is, but he's not saying.
but talking about Strontium Dog, I've just taken possession, or will be taking possession, of the page where Johnny kills Max Bubba.
Oh, right, yeah, because I hate you.
Because I hate you, which, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest pages in comics history. Just because it had been this incredible emotional build-up over so long, and finally you have this emotionally damaged character who is not exacting revenge for any real moral reason. He doesn't think it's going to be going to make things better. He doesn't think it's going to bring his friend back. He knows it's going to do none of those things. Yeah. He just wants to kill the person who killed his best friend.
Yeah.
And
normally in your average American film, something would happen that would stop him doing that evil deed. And
yeah.
The guy would still die, but he would somehow be justified in whatever he'd done. Well, no, not in Johnny Alpha.
No. And I think that's the fundamental strength of that character, is that he can do a terrible thing and walk away from it. And that's 2000 AD. That perfectly sums up what 2000 AD is about. It's not some kind of...
It's because it's a terrible thing, but everybody understands.
Yeah.
And we dare to do it in 2000 AD. He's the kind of guy that gets people standing up and screaming in cinemas, "Go, kill him, kill him, get him, Johnny."
What's your... I mean, we'll come on to sort of the more recent stuff that you've done for 2000 AD. But what's your relationship like with 2018? Now, I'm not talking about the relationship with the people that work there or, anything like that, but more looking back over the last 40 years.
Let's say it's love-hate without the hate.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that.
Well, there are things that haven't always been to my satisfaction, but I don't really care. I mean, I love 2000 AD, and I love the career it's given me, the connection with the readers of 2000 AD, how much it means to the readers of 2000 AD, the things that it's allowed me to do without question and quibble.
Yeah.
Everything about it, really, it's a wonderful creation and wonderful thing.
I'm guessing that back in 1977, none of you ever had an inkling that this was going to last more than what an average comic book
two or three years.
Yeah,
my thoughts on Dredd is he would have a 16 run series and a break and then maybe another one.
Right. And here we are.
Yeah. Then it would be merged into Scorcher.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Strontium Dog. I mean, that was very lucky to have survived a merger.
Well, two great stories came from that and Robusters.
Yeah.
And they really strengthened 2000 AD by being in it. So,
well, it's interesting, talking to Steve McManus on the last episode, it was interesting, he was saying that when he came in, he felt that after that kind of initial explosion of enthusiasm in 2000 AD, it had, around about kind of, you know, Prog 100, it hit a bit of a lull. And he very much wanted to come in and find its feet again, you know, find those stories that would keep punching away at that place. And certainly you can literally see that around about Prog 100, where all of a sudden, bam, everyone is back on message, every strip is on full.
Editors are really important.
Yeah.
It's, people don't understand the importance of the role of an editor, a good editor.
Mm.
A good editor makes a comic, makes a magazine, makes a newspaper.
Do you think you have a better understanding of that, having been an editor?
Oh, yeah. I understand how bloody difficult it is. In a way, I've been doing that same role with my new comic, Rock of the Reds, which will be out at the end of February. I'm allowed four mentions. Everybody knows about it now anyway. Everybody's keen. Yeah, I mean, it is a thankless task.
Yeah.
And, like, if I was editing the job I'm doing now on Rock of the Reds, out in...
Okay, five,
sorry.
Five.
It's a sort of editorial job. Like, I've brought everybody on board. I'm checking the artwork, writing the scripts, editing the scripts against the artwork. I chose the colorist and the letterer, and I'm pushing it all through. If that had been an anthology, I couldn't do anything else. And if I had to read incoming scripts and decide whether they were passable or not, it would just drive me crazy. I couldn't do that. That's why I quit the magazine. One main reason that I felt I was being too subjective with everybody's submissions.
Right.
And just because I didn't like it didn't mean it wasn't good. You know, I have the things I like and things I don't, and an editor has to have a much broader perspective on things. And I wasn't. I was too narrow. It's a devilish job, a really hard job, and I admire anyone who can do it well.
As the 21st century dawned and the rebellion era of 2080 began, your writing on Dredd shifted. It began to shift with strips like The Pit, where we started to see a lot more, not just police procedurals, but also a harking back, an attempt to explain. And eventually we had Origins, which finally, in the eyes of many, explained the origin of Dredd and the Justice Department. Why did you decide to finally put that down on paper for that?
Well, firstly, The Pit actually was Steve McManus's idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wanted something more of a soap feel to it. And initially I thought, come on, Steve. But the more I thought about it, and, you know, you do what you're told.
Yeah.
And once I got into the story, I realized there was real mileage in it and a different perspective on Dredd and the whole Justice Department system. You get a different story, and it worked really well. What was the other side of that question?
Why did you decide to look back and finally explain and clear up?
Just something that had been on, you know, it's on everybody's mind for a long while, and I finally thought, well, I can sort of sort this all out. I don't know whether I did it totally adequately, but I did my best. Plus, in a way, I think it adds to the body of the story if you can feed off what came before.
Mm.
You remain consistent. You stay within the sort of whole sphere of the story. You're not always introducing something new, because history affects us all. The past affects us all, and you know we are creatures of our past. And so, it's useful to be able to think, "Oh God, I haven't got an idea. Who am I going to? Oh, I remember that character from Prog 473." You know, but that is useful. I admit that.
Yeah.
You're looking for a story and you think, well, whatever happened to him?
Hmm.
But the whole origins thing has been a question on everybody's mind since fairly early on, and I thought I could solve it. And so I just did it.
You did it, and then a few years later, you bought everything tearing down. It literally destroyed everything with the Day of Chaos.
Yeah.
But in a way that... So I was talking to David Bishop about Doomsday for Dread.
Yeah.
And that harks back to the Apocalypse War, where Dread is put on trial for his crime of destroying his Megwon. And that felt that was almost a dry run for the Day of Chaos, when actually it really was a case of beware your sins will find you out. So finally the great judgment on Dredd for his actions.
Backlash.
Yeah, the backlash had come. 30 years later, there must have been a degree of glee with Day of Chaos. Because I remember talking to Matt in the office, and I think he just had an email from you saying, "I feel like bringing the Dark Judges into this. What do you think?" Kind of thing. Was there a sense of just going, "Yeah, let's just throw everything
at this"? I just wanted to make it as bad as I could. there was a sense of comeuppance.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the city wasn't going to be destroyed, but I wanted to get as close to it as I could. And I didn't feel that the solve characters were in any way villains of the piece. I felt they were certainly no worse than Dredd. So I mean, it was interesting to see just what came out of it.
The way that you've been writing, I mean, even just kind of Day of Chaos aside, the way that you've been writing Dredd in recent years is very, very different to how it was.
Yeah. It is.
10, 20, 30 years
ago. I feel I've grown up a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel I'm a much better writer now than I was earlier on. Earlier on, I was ideas.
Sure.
More than anything. But nowadays, well, I think I'm a proper writer these days. I like to think so.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a story you would like to tell?
Yes, I'd like to write Dredd's Death. But they won't let me.
You keep threatening this.
Well, I can still write it and publish it anonymously, but I'd like to write it. Yeah. But yeah, I know they're not never going to let me do that.
Hypothetically.
Yeah.
How would you do it?
I would do it with ample consideration. I would do it caringly. I don't know. It's a really hard one, but I mean, he has to have a good send off. I don't want to do it as one of these what ifs.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't hate, you know, do that. No, I hate to do that, but and I don't want to see the end of Dredd. I would just like to write his demise, have it printed and be paid for it. I'll bring him back. I've done it before.
It's a very slippery slope there, John.
To me, I don't see the problem if a clone replaces him.
Mm.
I think he could just, you know, just take over as Dredd. It doesn't worry me. It may worry the fans.
Yeah.
If it's not the actual embodiment of Dredd.
Do you remember when you gave Dredd cancer?
Uh-huh.
It was like a 2-3 panel.
Yeah, it wasn't thing. Much, yeah.
This is entirely me. This is not me speaking on behalf of Benny whatsoever. I always thought if you're going to do that, you could do it in passing. Not make a big thing of it.
Yeah.
And just say, oh, but you were replaced by a clone 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
We just didn't tell you. Yeah. We switched your brains out ages ago. What are you talking about? Anyway, carrying on.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I think the fans really react to, and anyone who enjoys Dredd really reacts to, is the subtlety, the offhandness of major events.
It's like Giant's death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was terribly shocking at the time. People very upset, but you know,
that's
people
so often
die.
That's how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's. You know, Dredd could walk out in front of a car. I don't think they like it.
Dredd has an automobile accident.
Yeah, but I try to let real life intrude into his life as often as I can.
Yeah.
I mean, like his strained relations with Vienna. I can just picture that, him sitting there and wishing he was someplace else, but he's got to do this duty, and he likes the girl.
See, we were talking about origins and about the kind of consistency in storytelling, and Dredd having a niece sounds ridiculous, and yet you've managed to make it work within the context.
Yeah, if it had been done... mockishly, it wouldn't have worked, but it's because Dredd's such a stiff prick. that's what makes it work.
Yeah.
You know he doesn't want to be there, and you know that she probably would rather he wasn't either.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, she's trying her best, and he's trying his best, and they're fond of each other in their own way.
There's such a remarkable supporting cast now to Dredd, because for so very, very long, he was the main character. You know, Giant had been killed. Characters like Decker, that I think Garth brought in, were killed off. But now you have Giant, you have Dolman, you have Vienna, you have Beanie.
Yeah.
Was this you attempting to introduce a bit of variety, a kind of new dynamic to the strip?
Well, yes, just sort of to see another side of his character.
Yeah.
Not that it's that much different. To see how he deals with this. And like with Beanie, he actually feels like a mentor.
Yeah.
You know, he's interested in her career. And Vienna, although he doesn't really want to see much of her, he wishes her well and wants to... She's got to. He's morally bound to make sure she's well. And he just has different relations with people, and to show him more as a human being, which for the first few years I didn't really see him as. He was more of a robot.
Yeah.
And it's just giving him a bit more personality.
Yeah.
I suppose there's a lot more one could do about the monk-like aspect of, but I really don't want to get into. You know, sexuality or anything like that. Like when I see it in a movie, I fast forward any sex scene. It's just so boring. I mean, I watch porn, but I don't want to watch movie sex.
Don't want that romance stuff.
No, it's just it's stupid. It's like reading it in a book. you know, okay, just say next morning. That's all I want to know.
Well, it's remarkable in comics that on and off you have been the guiding hand in a character for the best part of 40 years. There isn't another character in comics that has had that.
I couldn't have handled it all on my own.
But you're always there, even when somebody else is writing you. Yeah, there's always...
grey presence.
This shadow
cast. I feel really sorry for other writers.
Really?
It's testament to their skill that they've done so well with this vulture hovering in the background. You know, can I do this? Can I do that?
Sure.
Whereas, I can do anything I want. It's tough for them.
But is that not the mother of invention? When you have a constraining system, that's when creativity is at its best.
Yeah, I guess so. I suppose if each of them, any of them, was in control of the story, they would be able to invent their own rules.
Mm.
But they can't quite at the moment. They've done things to my characters I'm not terribly pleased about.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... they've got to have some leeway. Not that they weren't good stories, but...
Yeah. Is there a moment when... you've seen something that's happened in Dread? I mean, I presume you read 2000 AD on a...
No, I never.
No, you never read it.
Never.
Okay.
I don't think you should.
I'll end that line of questioning.
I can't read comics.
Really?
I mean, even though I know some of them are really good, when I've spent too long writing them. Once I started writing them, I stopped reading them. And now and then I'll read something. I think, like, it took me about 25 years to read DR and Quench. And I thought, fucking hell, this is good. You know, and I think the last, I mean, I read quite a lot of Charlie's War.
Yeah.
Way back, back when it came out. But... And I've read Laptop Guy, that's BHP, only because he wanted me to do an intro for it. But I mean, I enjoyed that too. And I really liked Mary Talbot's thing. Daughter of Father's Eyes,
yeah. One of the guests at San Diego was Carlos, as a guest of honour. And we've talked a little bit about how... the other people in the British invasion managed to take in America, and yourself and Alan didn't.
Well, Alan did.
Alan did for a time.
He didn't become one of their icons.
No, which is a shame because the Batman work that he did was great. You have been, and again, this isn't meant to be blown smoke up anyone's backside, but you have been described as one of the most influential, if not the most influential, British comic book writer in the industry. Number one, do you feel that? Number two, if not, why not?
Well, I feel I'm the most influential one in my own life.
Good!
That's a start.
Yeah.
God, I don't know. It's not for me to say.
Mm. Are you flattered by it?
I am, but I would have to say that Pat Mills is far more influential in British comics than I have been. Just simply by the creation of 2000 AD, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm flattered by it. It says to you, you've done good work. It's important to people, and that's important to me. So I really like meeting fans, and 2000 AD fans in particular seem a very intelligent, by and large, likeable bunch, one or two, but I do like meeting the fans, and Even people who come up to me and don't know who the hell I am.
Yeah. More for them.
Yeah, just nice meeting people.
Yeah.
And discussing comics and, you know, and a number of people said I've had such an influence on their life. That's quite gratifying. I've got a list of all those I've corrupted.
Like Santa's naughty list.
Yes, I like to think there are thousands on it.
If you look at 2080's heyday in terms of readership and even if you count up the sheer number of people who've read 2080, you're talking well into a million, if not more.
Yeah.
An awful lot of people to
correct. Even people who don't read it and haven't read it for a long while still retain a fondness for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's really good. I mean, I don't know what fans of other comics like Batman feel like, but 2000 AD seems to me to be a bit unique.
Mm.
Well, you can't be a bit unique.
Unique or you're not, yes.
Unique.
that's the sub-editor coming through there.
Yeah. It seems to have engendered such fondness in so many people.
Mm.
And it's like, Kiss Me Quick Hats, and you know, it's everybody has a memory of Clacton, or it's more than that, because it did. I think it helped a lot of people through bad times in their life, and a lot of people say that to me. I was having a shit time, and the thing I clung to was 2000 AD, and that's important. I think we've done important work there. You know, not that we meant to.
Yeah.
But we've been important in people's lives.
You've only got to look at the roster of the big names in British filmmaking and scriptwriting to see their influence of 2080. So you've got people like Edgar Wright. You've got people like Duncan Jones, Simon Pegg. You know. We're not just talking about comics here. We're talking about British creativity in the world.
Mm.
All of them have a fondness for this comic
and
for the characters that you created.
Yeah, not just me, but
you. But you know, when you look at Judge Dredd, Strontium Dog, Ace Trucking, Robo Hunter.
Yeah.
You know, these are the characters of the great golden age and beyond.
Yeah, yeah, that's good, eh?
Yeah, it's all right, I guess.
Yeah, it does make me feel good
to
know that these things are important to people and still are.
Yeah.
And I feel in a way that my life hasn't been wasted.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No, really, I mean, sometimes I think, well, I could die now.
Yeah,
I'd be quite happy to die. Well, no. You know,
I could not get, quite that far.
Yeah, but you know, I think I've achieved things I never imagined I would achieve, and I can be fairly pleased with what I've done. Not everything, but
there's a lot of themes of in your work of compromise, of choice. Of squaring up to a situation that one may not necessarily wish to have to deal with.
Well, the thing is that our choices define us as characters. Mm. I'm interested in character. I mean, I don't think of scripts. I mean, I think visually, but I don't think particularly. It's like a hazy visualization of what's going on.
Yeah.
I think in terms of dialogue and character, and the characters to me are the most important thing in a story.
Mm.
How a character will react, what they'll do, and that's what defines each and every one of us. It's the choices we make in any given situation.
Mm.
That's character, and that's
it does feel that way. In things like Button Man, where, you know, it does seem like character is the first consideration. So many comics are high concept first, character second, but yours have always been the other way around, always character first.
Yeah, I just let the character carry the story along. And that's what interests me, in like, what will this person do, what will that person do, how will they clash, how will they react, and how what choice does he make to get out of this terrible situation? You know, it defines him, it defines all of us, our choices.
You mentioned Steinbeck and Graham Greene earlier, both writers who embody exactly that principle, that it's about the choices that you make in the situation.
In Steinbeck's case, a lot of the choices are forced on them. They're more victims than protagonists.
I was going to ask, if comics aren't your reading, what is?
What do I read? I decided, I went to the Caribbean for one holiday and decided that I would take Anna Karenina with me. And by God, I ploughed through that thing. It ruined the whole holiday. I mean, I'd read War and Peace as a youth, and I really liked it. But Anna Karenina bored the arse off me, but I felt I was a completist back then. I no longer am. That finished me, but I read Anna Karenina, and stuff I read, I like Patrick O'Brien's naval novels.
Okay.
I like the sort of soap aspect of them. I think he should have increased the action a bit and cut down a wee bit on the soap, but I liked his novels. I've still got all 20 of them, and I'll probably read them again when I've got Alzheimer's and forgotten I've read them. I'm a real fan of Michael Connelly.
Oh yeah.
I like people that write really well, who write beautifully. I wouldn't say that Connolly writes beautifully, but he writes well, and he draws you right into the story. He gives you just enough background, just enough personal stuff, and the story rattles along. So I really, he's got one or two flaws that irritate the hell out of me, but I'd say he's about my favourite author now.
Right.
And another one I've just discovered is William McIlvenny.
Oh yeah.
I've read his first, Laidlaw. He's a Glasgow detective, and it's literature rather than crime. You know, he writes beautifully, and he has really deep insights into what makes a Glasgow hard man.
Right.
Now, I've never really analysed it, but McIlvenny put his finger right on it in that first Laidlaw. And Robbie Morrison's lending me the next one and The Big Man as well, because sadly he's gone now, McIlvenny, but I think he's a splendid writer. He's worth anybody's time reading.
Right.
Steinbeck. I love Steinbeck. I must reread all his stuff. He was... my big discovery is I was a member of this private library across the road from me, and I walked across and I saw this name, Steinbeck. Yeah. I think it was the Grapes of Wrath I picked up. And I'd heard the name, but I didn't know anything. I read it and I was just a fan, you know, and I've read everything he's written. I don't particularly like Graham Greene.
Okay.
Although some of the stuff I've read of his is good. But these are my favourite authors.
Looking to the future, we've talked a little bit about...
Rock of the Reds.
Rock of the Reds, number 6. We talked a little bit about, what you'd love to do with Dredd. To round off his story. Do you see yourself retiring, or are you a writer who will just keep going until they can't go anymore?
I was going to retire a couple of years ago, and that's why I started doing conventions. I was doing a sort of goodbye and thank you tour. Right. And, you know, after about 9 or 10 months of this, I realised that I didn't really want to retire. You know, I don't work nearly as hard as I used to. I used to work 7 days a week, maybe 10 hours a day, because that's what I did, yeah. You know, but these days I hardly start work before 2 o'clock.
Right.
You know, I'm on the internet playing Sudoku and reading newspapers and things, but I still like doing it. So I don't see myself retiring, but I'll probably be doing more personal projects in the future, just things that, you know, seem like fun, you know, and if I can afford to sort of finance them, that's the kind of stuff I'll be doing.
Mm.
And yeah, the odd Strontium Dog series and Judge Dredd. But it's quite good that we have a lot of new young Turks along to take a lot of the strain of Dredd.
Yeah, it's notable that in comparison to say 20 years ago, the field is far more open than it was. Because I mean, when you left Dredd after Necropolis,
yeah.
It was handed to Garth. There weren't that many candidates.
Yeah, it was a bit tough on Garth.
Yeah. I mean, we had him on the podcast and he was wonderfully candid about his time on there. But now you have... Gordon's not doing any more Dredd now, but you've got Rob Williams, you've got Al Ewing, you've got Simon Spurrier, yeah. You've got Mike Carroll, all great guys.
Yeah, they're doing really well.
Do you feel that if... you were to move on, things are in safe hands?
Yeah, I think it needs somebody to sit over the whole thing and make sure everything is consistent.
Okay.
And that it's going the way 2000 AD wants it to go. I don't think you can allow four disparate, or five, or however many disparate writers to do their own thing all the time. There has to be a cohesiveness about it all. Yeah. And there has to be... 2000 AD has to have a direction they want the whole thing to go in. And I think as long as they have that, as long as they have someone to keep an eye on it, make sure it's moving the way they want it, then they'll be fine without me.
Mm.
Yeah, because these are... I mean, I've been surprised. But I say I don't read many comics, but I have read some of their stories.
Yeah.
And I've been surprised by the quality of some of what they've been doing. And I think it's very good. And I think Dredd is in good hands.
Wow. I hope you enjoyed listening to that interview as much as I enjoyed conducting it. It was wonderful of John to invite me into his home and sit down and chat. Some big stuff in there. I'm sure I'll see plenty of chat about that online. That's it for this episode of the 2000 AD Throwcast. Thank you so much for all the comments, all the likes and the shares on social media, and also the star ratings and the comments on iTunes. Please do let people know about the 2000 AD Thrillcast as we move further into 2016 with more guests, more news, and more interviews. So I just want to say once again, thank you to John Wagner for being so generous with his time and, you know, also buy me a pint. There's two other people I'd like to thank specifically, and that's Mike Donaghy and David Price, both of whom were a huge help, not just in the research for this interview, but also helping me come up with some questions. David actually runs a really great website. If you're a fan of reading great interviews with amazing creators, then I recommend you visit Classic UK Comics Zines. .weebly.com. That's Classic UK Comics Zines.weebly.com. David has been uploading all their fanzines from the 70s and 80s, which is a fantastic resource if you enjoy your comics. So I say it every episode, I'll say it again. Splendid Verthrig Earthlitz. Now, are you reading The Galaxy's Greatest Comic? 2000 AD is in orbit every Wednesday from all good news agents and comic book stores. 2000 AD is also available digitally. You can get PDF copies, which are DRM-free, from our website at www.2000adonline.com, or you can download the free 2000 AD app for Apple and Android devices. Now, you get that by searching for 2000 space AD in iTunes and the Google Play Store. There's also the Judge Dredd magazine, which is published in print and digital every month with more pages, more Dredd-centric stories, special features, and a bagged reprint magazine featuring forgotten 2000 AD classics. And don't forget that our graphic novels, including absolute timeless classics like Strontium Dog, Ace Trucking, Flesh, Judge Dredd, Slain, Robo Hunter, and many, many more, are also available digitally through our webshop and app. We're on social media with the latest announcements, competitions and freebies. Search on Facebook and Google Plus for 2000 AD. If you're on Instagram, we're Insta 2000AD, and you can follow us on Twitter, where we are at 2000AD. Make sure you stay Zarjaz, Earthlitz. Splundig Verthrig.